Well, welcome back to this session. Again, we're with Bill Olendyke, and we're so excited to be able to have this exchange, hopefully for your benefit. And as you guys are listening in, really cue into some of the things that we're going to be talking about in this session. They're going to be a little bit perhaps more technical. I'm going to ask Bill to talk about some of the dynamics that happen in pastoral care ministry as we're having an exchange with somebody, and then some of the terminology that may be a little bit foreign to you. I'm sure he'll give us the definition as well as the terminology and be able to talk about how those dynamics really do work and what we're really looking for in these times of interaction with people. So I'm going to ask Bill to go ahead and start us off with some of the dynamics and some of the terminology and define those and how those all work in the session as we deal with people.
When we find ourselves in a counseling scenario, we have to remember that we're representing Christ, that we want to represent his true nature, his all the different attributes of his character, his kindness, his mercy, his patience, his justice, his righteousness, his holiness. And there are certain challenges that appear in many counseling scenarios that make that more difficult than we might think. Many times we'll find ourselves in a counseling environment, counselee who is less than lovely, or challenging, or an angry, or resentful, even maybe volatile personality. And it's always a temptation to allow your emotions to become involved. I'm talking about reacting instead of maintaining self-control and responding in a way that would downregulate that high emotion that's being expressed.
Okay.
And there's a couple terms here that I'll share with you that kind of identify this challenge more clearly. The words that we use are transference and counter-transference. Every counselee, every brother and sister in the Lord that we sit with in a counseling environment transfers certain things to us. They might transfer calm. They might transfer kindness. They might transfer sadness and sorrow, or some of the other emotions I mentioned before, where they might be angry, might be resentful. All these emotions that they're releasing through their words and through their body language, their facial expression, their eyes, that all is hitting you as you're sitting there. It's going into your soul. And a lot of that emotion or that heated, volatile type expression can get into your soul and rile you up. And all of a sudden your heart rate's going up. And you have to be careful at that moment that you make a quality decision. I am not going to go up there where that person is right now. I'm staying right down here with you, Jesus. Help me.
Yeah, that's good.
Help me, Lord. I've done it many, many times in my counseling where I've just said, not verbally where they could hear it, I just say, help me, Lord. Help me not to go there. Help me not to respond. Even when this person is attacking me, and yes, you will find yourself in situations where you get attacked. And it's not easy to become defensive. So that client is transferring certain things onto you.
Yes.
Expect that. And it's normal.
But
you cannot afford to counter-transfer back to your client those feelings that they are bringing your way. I can remember once again in my training that one of the professors teaching us, one of the very first classes we had was on transference and counter-transference. And I remember him reiterating several times, you cannot permit yourself to react and counter-transfer back to your client what he or she is transferring to you, because it will be exponentially more powerful what you return. That's just the way it is with countertransference.
That's good.
And this is how we get into verbal fighting and battles, verbal battles and things like that, which later on can go up the anger ladder, even to rage. It's always countertransference that brings you there.
That's good.
So we can't afford to do that.
That's good. And you know, as I was listening to you, I'm wondering, how do you do that? How do you keep yourself from being emotionally engaged in something and not just instinctively reacting to anger or sorrow or depression or rebellion? How do you maintain your sense of cool, and how do you stay objective, Bill, when you're dealing with your own emotions as this person speaking as well?
Well, it's not easy, but I have to remember throughout this counseling experience, this person has some level of trust in me, and that's why he or she is sitting there.
That's good.
And they have had the courage, and it takes courage to go and to seek someone out. They have come to me seeking something, and I can't allow them not to receive it. If possible, I'm going to do everything that I can to make it a possibility that they receive the help that they need. And I take that transference, or those very emotional moments, and I ask myself, what does this tell me about the person? Those are many times for me alarm signals that say, aha, here it is. This is where the woundedness is. This is where the person, you've hit a wound. It's like a boil in the skin. You can't even see it. But once you touch it, there's a reaction. Somehow you've hit a boil, and an emotional boil. And that person is saying, ow, and taking it out on you.
That's good. That's good. So basically, one of the things you're inferring, of course, in what you're saying is that we need to stay objective, and realize that oftentimes when you're dealing with people, you may hit a nerve, if you will, and sometimes we don't realize that people are speaking out of their pain. They're speaking out of their emotional hurt, which triggers all kinds of emotions, all kinds of memories, and so. If we don't stay calm, if we don't stay objective, we really are no longer really any use to them at that point in time. So that's really important that you say that.
This is really a point here that divides those that should be involved in counseling from those who should be working maybe more with computers.
That's true.
Because you have got to ask yourself the question, do I love the unlovely? Do I have compassion for the hurting? And many high percentage of the people that are hurting are not lovely. They're angry, they're mean spirited, they're full of poison, vitriol, and all this other stuff that they're going to dump out on you.
Right.
This is maybe their opportunity to release some of that, you know.
Yes.
And you've got to endure it. But if you realize, like I was saying in the first broadcast. They're loved by God. God is absolutely in love with them.
Yes.
It helps you to realize.
That's so good.
It's not worth it to fight back here.
That's so good.
And let your ego get involved here.
That's so good. Well, I appreciate you sharing that. You know, so many times when we're asking people to, you know, to follow the call of God, and then we sign on the dotted line, and then we get our training, and then here we go, around the field, so to speak. Sometimes we don't share some of the liabilities maybe that there is out there, or the things that we need to be cautious of. And of course, as we're dealing with people as it relates to discipleship and processing emotions and pains and diving back into people's souls, we have to understand that sometimes those things aren't going to be pleasant to be revisited by those folks. And so I appreciate you being honest with us. And so pastoral care ministry is not for the coward, not for the weak at heart. So we really appreciate those words of encouragement as we wrap up our podcast at this time. Hey, guys, thank you again for taking the time to listen to this podcast, and make sure you're doing your homework assignments as we go along the way. And again, thank you, Bill, for sharing those thoughts with us today that were so important for us to hear. God bless you.
Let me just say this.